Blog Talk Radio.
Tiger, DJ Southeast Vince coming at you from a place called Durham, North Carolina. And this is Black by Color only on CNM Radio, where I will speak truth to the black nation. On this show, I will discuss current events and issues that affect the black race and take on the mainstream liberal black agenda. Hopefully you'll get something from this show, and if you have a question or a comment, make sure you season it well with respect, or you'll find yourself in danger of the curse of the fruit bat. So don't come here being a fruit bat, because this is a fruit bat free program. You are listening to Black by Color. How are you good people doing out there today? Hope today finds you doing well. If you would like to be a guest to call in to the program, the call-in number is 646-478-5284. That's 646-478-5284. And you can call in and talk about anything related to the subject matter. But once again, please be aware of the aforementioned curse of the fruit bat. I will not tolerate much character assassinations, ad hominem attacks, excessive profanity, trolling, gaslighting, things of that sort. If you feel like you want to come on this program and indulge in those type of activities, then I will guarantee you your stay will be short on this program. I don't care if you agree with me or disagree with me. I will not kick you off of this show simply because you disagree with me. You might disagree with me, but that's not when I'll call you a fruit bat. A fruit bat is a very disrespectful person that comes on and tries to take over the show and whatever. You know, they try to cut you off when you're talking. That's what I call a fruit bat. But if you simply disagree with me, we all have our different points of view. We have our different opinions and how we see the world and everything. You have no problem with me. But let's go through this show and have a conversation like adults. Because some people, I don't know if they're fooling themselves or whatever, but they think that they're the ones that need to talk, and you need to be the one to sit there and listen, whether this is your program or not. But anyway, just adhere to that, okay? You know, we're all adults here. We can have a decent conversation. We don't need all the, you know, the sand slinging kindergarten recess, you know, class type of rhetoric. We can sit here and we can talk to each other as if we are adults. But anyway, we're having a very gray day here in Durham, North Carolina. We've gotten some storm clouds, and it's been raining all day, basically. And I just love it. I love a rainy Saturday. But I know elsewhere around the world, you know, especially in the Atlantic Ocean right now, we have a I think it's a Cat 4 storm, Hurricane Lee. I think at one time it was a Cat 5. I'm not sure if it's gotten that status again, but I'm hoping that that storm doesn't hit land, because it seems it's a big one. It's a very bad one, and I hope it remains a fish storm. And a fish storm is a storm that just, you know, lingers out in the ocean, you know, and doesn't really hit land. They're expecting it to hit maybe as far south as Maine, and maybe hit the Nova Scotia, Newfoundland area in Canada. But I just hope it just fizzles out before it even reaches there. You know, this is a bad one right here. You know, of course, you know, the climate, you know, the climate criers, they're out there talking about, oh, this storm is climate change and all that crazy mess. Folks, we've been having hurricanes for centuries. You know, I mean, we've been having them almost every year. This time we have a hurricane. So this has nothing to do with climate change or any of that nonsense they keep spouting on the news. Some years the hurricanes are a bit stronger, but these hurricanes are not stronger because of climate change. We've had strong hurricanes before. I can go back in history and just point them out. The 1938 hurricane that hit New York. You know, the Florida Keys hurricane, the Lake Okeechobee hurricane, Hurricane Camille, and of course, more recently, Hurricanes Andrew and Katrina. These all had nothing to do with global warming or climate change or anything like that. They happen, you know. So, but anyway, before I get on this show, I'm going to kind of do what I was talking about the last time I was on this program. I was talking about this guy named Warren. He does a show called New Orleans Wake Up, and it's on Blog Talk Radio as well. And if you want to check it out, you know, feel free to do so. I was talking about how manipulative and whatever he can be with his rhetoric and whatever. And I invited him to come on the show to explain himself, because he made some false accusations against me and some other people that, you know, a couple of my guests that come on this show. And I wanted him to come on and explain himself. And he said, well, I'll come on your show if, you know, you won't lie about, you know, you won't mention lies about, you know, black people and, you know, things like that. I don't have the document up right now, and I'm not even going, you know, pull it up and whatever. And I told him, I have never lied about black people on this show. I don't smear black. This show is not about me smearing black people. You know, and he seemed to hint at that the reason why I call my show Black by Color Only is that this show is designed to defend racist white people. That is not why I have this show. The reason why I have this show is because I want to bring the black communities to a sense of accountability, a sense of responsibility, to point out their faults before they go out and point other people's faults out. Because that seems to be what is happening in today's world, today's society. You know, black people are always pointing at somebody else for their shortcomings, but they never look at themselves. You know, and I may have mentioned a scripture in the Bible, which says, Judges 4:17, judgment must first begin at the house of God. And I believe that's a principle. Before you can judge anyone else, you need to judge yourself. There's a scripture in the book of Matthew that says, judge not that you be not judged. And I explain, you know, what that scripture really means. You know, a lot of people use that scripture to say, don't be telling people what they're doing that's wrong. But what that scripture is saying is, if you're going to judge somebody, don't be guilty of the very thing that you are judging them for. And that's what's going on in black society today, liberal mainstream black America. And that's what I point out. I'm not here to defend white people. I'm here to point out the truth when I see it. And if a white person is falsely accused by a black person, yes, I am going to defend that person the same way I would defend a black person who was falsely accused by a white person. Let's just make this clear, okay? This show is not about defending white people. This show is not about looking the other way when white people do something wrong, but pointing out what black people do wrong. And people seem to suggest that, you know, I've been accused of, you know, being so hard on black folks, but I'm not hard on the racist white folks out there. And that's not being genuine when you say that, because I have spoken about the Ku Klux Klan and the white people. Why do I do that? Because I am a member of the black race, and I'm trying to bring us to a sense of responsibility in white and in black societies today. There's the notion that black people can't be racist because we don't have the power. We don't have the power. We're not over anything. And we need to get out of that mindset. You know, a lot of times when we think about racism, we only think about the white. Variety. Racism is racism. I had an incident on my job, on a job I was working on a few years ago, where one of my black coworkers accused me of listening to the white folks on the job, but not the black folks. And I'm sitting there like, where are you getting this from? And, you know, when other people got word of it, they said, that sounds like reverse racism. Folks, there's no reverse racism. There's no such thing as reverse racism. Racism is racism. If you are a white person that hates black people, you are a racist. If you are a black person that hates white people, you are a racist. As simple as that. That's okay, Warren. Take your notes. Take your notes. Good to see you. I told you you're welcome on my show anytime. But all I know is when you broadcast what I say on this show, when you share what I say on this show, share it with the truth, because that's all I'm going to give you. And like I said, I don't do this show in defense of white people. You know, people try to, you know, suggest that that's what I do on this show. All he does is defend white people. Okay. All right. We'll see. But if I were on here and all I did was talk about the shortcomings of white folks, nobody would say anything about that. They'll be, oh, he's not talking about us. So, you know, so why can't I do the same thing with black folks, being a black person myself? That's why I call this show Black by Color Only, because I wasn't, you know, I didn't ask to be black. Okay. My skin color is not my ideal. I'm always going to follow the truth. If a black person does something wrong, I'm going to point them out. White person does something wrong, I'm going to point them out. Hispanic, I don't care who you are. I'm an equal opportunity judge for those if you do something wrong. Now, when you come on this show, you will say things like, well, all he does is criticize black people. But see, that's all you hear. I'm only on this show for 2 hours a week. And some people might say, well, you might want to lighten up on the, you know, you're a black guy. You got to lighten up on the brothers sometimes. No, I don't want to lighten up on the brothers. Just like that movie, Remember the Titans? Coach Boone, you know, he had a player that wasn't, you know, playing up to snuff. Pulled him out the game, and his assistant coach came behind him and said, hey, won't you play for me? Play on defense. And so, you know, the guy played on defense, did pretty good and whatever, and then next day or whatever, they're showing him the white assistant coach tells Coach Boone, says, you know, no thanks needed. He said, what do you mean no thanks needed? He said, I'm not going to thank you. He said, you try to undercut me. I'm the coach of this team. You try to undercut my authority on this team. And the assistant coach said, well, these kids, they don't respond like this. You know, they don't like the way you're coaching or whatever. All right, Warren, watch it. But getting back to my analogy, he said, well, I come down hard on the white players. You don't say nothing about that. He said, look, I might be an honorary cuss, but I'm an honorary cuss with everybody on the team, especially the black folks. He said, you're not helping these kids by patronizing them. Basically, what Coach Boone was saying was, I do equal opportunity. If you mess up, I don't care if you're black or white. I'm going to get on you. You have never used your platform to say anything good or positive about black people. That's a lie. You say the exact same things about black people that white conservatives say. No, I don't. So one can only conclude that you view their view of black people as a correct perspective. No, they don't. If that's the way you think about me, then you haven't been listening. You haven't been listening. Have you heard me talk about Zayla Avant-Garde, that girl who won the spelling bee a couple of years ago? Apparently you didn't hear me talk about her, did you? I don't say the same thing every week. No, I don't. That's a lie. I talked about Zayla Avant-Garde, the girl who won that spelling bee. And folks came out, oh, yes, a black girl won. Okay, yeah, a black girl won. Okay, thank you. Okay, yes. But that just goes to show that black people could have won the spelling bee before. Could have won it years ago. And people taking that as a badge of honor for black people. No, that's Zayla's badge of honor, not black folks. Her father got up and said, hey, you know, I know my daughter can win this spelling bee. So they study 15,000 words a day. 15,000 words a day. And she won that spelling bee. She beat people out who have been studying since kindergarten. She had only studied a few years, and she ended up winning the spelling bee. So don't tell me I don't say anything positive about black people on here, because that's a lie. And to say that what I say on this show emboldens white people to go out and commit acts of violence against black people, I don't know where that rhetoric comes from. Because I have never said, hey, white people, why don't you get out on the streets and beat up some black people? I've never done that. And if you're saying that my rhetoric does that, that's not my problem. They're misinterpreting what I'm saying. So that's not my problem. Okay, well, hey, good. You know her family. They're very pro-black, and her father would not appreciate your perspective. Hey, well, you don't appreciate the truth. But one thing I don't allow people to do on this program is tell me how to run my show. And I've never said any, I don't smear black people on this show like I've been accused of. I don't do that. I don't tear down the black communities or anything like that. What I'm trying to do is show what black people are doing wrong so that they can correct it. Because we're, as long as we continue on this voyage that we are on, we'll have what happened a few days ago with that girl in Columbus, Ohio, at the Kroger. She gets stopped because they suspect she stole some liquor. She cops an attitude with the police. She nearly runs over one of the officers, and they shot her dead. Why are you going to cop an attitude? If they say that you are accused of stealing something and you know you're not guilty, just say, hey, okay, you think I stole something? Come on in. But she had a copping attitude. This is why black people keep getting killed with these encounters with police. The police don't just show up and say, oh, you're a black person. Bang, bang. That's not what happens. That is not what happens. But you just don't come on here and tell me how to run my show. False accusations saying I smear people on this show. I don't do that. And if you don't understand me, maybe Fred Sanford can clear it up for you.
You don't tell me what I think. Talk about in my own house.
Okay. And I see you on the line. Stay on the line. Just stay on the line. And I think I see Pianchi on the line too as well. But this show is not about, oh, I'm going to defend the white people. Oh, I'm going to defend the white conservatives. You know, Warren, you call me a black comfort dog for white conservatives. I don't do this because I'm trying to appease to the conservatives. Anyone who knows me very well, anyone who knows me personally, knows I am not a political person. I don't get involved in politics. I might talk about it. I'll talk about the news of the day and everything like that. But I don't agree with politics because it can point out some of the things that conservatives that are doing that are wrong. I can point out some of the things that the liberals are doing that are wrong. I say the same thing every time you tune in. I mean, what more do you want me to say? What more do you want me to say? I mean, tell me. I'm just speaking from my experience and from what I've seen, what I see going on in the world today. I'm sorry, but I'm not sorry that I don't think like you do. One thing I've come to understand in my almost 55 years of living is that everybody's not going to think the exact same way that I do. and I don't do this show to make you out to be a carbon copy of myself. I even tell people, don't take my word, you know, when you hear me on this show, don't just take my word at face value. Go and look at what I'm talking about. Those who have an open mind, they say, okay, I hear him. I'm going to go and check out what he's saying. But those who don't have an open mind, they're like, oh, he's just caping for the white people. I'm not caping for white people. I'm caping for the truth. But some people, you know, the truth just cramps their style. It bucks against their trend. It rocks their boat. And you give them the truth. You give people the truth. They don't want to hear it. They want to hear what appeases them that goes along their line of thinking.
You can't handle the truth.
That's a problem with a lot of people. They can't handle it. I am not a part of a program of propaganda. That is being very disingenuous, Warren. That's being very disingenuous. I am not a part of a program of propaganda. You can call it whatever you want to. And it doesn't intimidate me. We disagree on that point, but that doesn't mean that your point of view is more valid than mine, because I know where I'm coming from. I know the area that I'm coming from. You don't. So you can disagree all you want to. That's fine. But I will tell you this, and when I sent you that note, I told you that I took it too far with saying you shouldn't call people black comfort dogs or white conservatives, because that's your show. You can say whatever you want to about me. You can say whatever you want to. But having said all that, that is still very disrespectful. But you can say it all you want to. It's not intimidating me. It's not getting me like I'm not hiding in a corner like, oh, he called me this and oh, the world is so bad. No, you call me whatever you want to. It just strengthens my resolve. It says your point of view is the same old racist stereotypes of black people warm. How is it the same old racist stereotypes? Come on, be specific. Come on, Warren, be specific. Tell me what I'm doing that is such a threat. What I'm saying that is such a threat to black people. Come on, tell me. It's not no same racist point. I mean, you keep making these false accusations, but you never specify. You never play a clip of something that I said that is smearing black people. See, the problem with folks like you, saying negative said about black folks. You don't want to hear about the statistics of crime in the black communities. You don't want to hear about black people committing racist acts against white folks. All you want to hear is something that follows along the line of your point of view. That's the problem. And then you get on your program and make these false accusations against people like myself, even though you said on your program, oh, I showed you all the respect. Yeah, on your program when I was there. But then you followed up with another program and called me a black comfort dog for white conservatives. And I was like, see, I said, I knew he wasn't gonna take what I said with an open mind. And I wasn't trying to get you to agree with me. Just say, you know what, Vincent said some things and I just disagree with it. You know, we'll just leave it at that. But no, you had a go and smear my name. You said I stabbed you in the back and slandered you. Tell me where I slandered you, Warren. Tell me where I slandered you. No, you're the snowflake. You're the snowflake. You over here calling me a snowflake, but you are the snowflake. And you want to get up there, oh, I treated him with respect. Well, your next show showed me that you had no respect for me at all. And that's what I countered on. And you can try to manipulate and dictate the narrative all you want to. But the thing is, you can dish it out, but you just can't take it. That's the problem. And it boggles your mind that a black brother in America today can actually think for himself, can actually think like this. Wait a minute. How in the world is he talking like this? I don't know. Maybe you want to drop squad me or something. You remember that movie from 1994 called The Drop Squad? They would kidnap black people who forgot where they came from and try to brainwash. And you can say, like I said, you say anything you want to about me. You can say whatever you want to. But thing is, I'm going to be here. You're going to be there. And I know you apologize for saying that, you know, maybe I have special needs and everything. But you also said that I don't know how to read, or you suggested that I don't know how to read. Let me say, I don't know how to read, and that someone needs to write some words down for me and everything and stuff like that. I mean, all those false accusations, and it just shows you really don't know me. On several occasions, I said on this program, when I first entered first grade in 1974, I was out reading everybody in my class. That included the white kids. I was reading on a third grade reading level, but you suggested me to read some books. You suggested some books to me. And you said I was intimidated of you. I was like, what is he talking about? Intimidated? I'm not intimidated of him. I mean, I'm not intimidated of you. Okay, well, you do your thing. You do your thing, Warren. He says, let's open the line and do this conversation. So I don't. Look, I will open the lines when the time comes. If you can't be patient, well, you just go ahead and do your thing. You just go ahead and do your thing. So, you know, but I'm just here to tell you that everything that you said about me is wrong. It's slander. It's a lie. And you said, I'm really afraid. I'm not afraid of you. Dude, I'm 6'2", almost 300 pounds. You think I'm afraid of you? Well, you'll get the line will open when I finish saying what I have to say. And if you don't like it, well, you go on, you know, bye. But like I said, you can't come on here and tell me how to run my program. Despite what you did for me I had to, you know, give you props. When I was on your program, yes, I was treated with respect. But it was the follow-up program to that one where your disrespect came out. And see, you got people going to that program when I was on it, and they're like, oh yeah, he treated you with respect. He treated you with respect. But then the follow-up show, I was like, oh, okay. All the things that you wanted to say about me, that's what you said in your follow-up show. You didn't say it while I was on your program. And now you're talking like I'm the one disrespecting you. But dude, go into your bathroom, turn on the light, and point the finger at that image that's staring back at you from the mirror. I'm not working hard to push you away. You can push yourself away. You can go if you want to. But I've had my say about the thing, and I'll open up the lines when I feel like it. You know, LOL, all that, everything, okay. But see, this is a classic example, folks, of what I'm talking about. Because I don't think like somebody, because I'm a black man, I'm supposed to think like mainstream liberal black America. And people like me had to get in line. But I'm a free-thinking black man. I'm not on this show. I don't do this because Robert Gardening told me what to say or anything like that. I don't know why they keep saying that. I'm not doing this to please anybody. Oh, there he goes. There he goes. Now, I'm giving you a lot of rope to hang yourself with, Warren. I'm giving you a lot of rope to hang yourself with. Oh, maybe I shouldn't use that. Maybe I shouldn't use that analogy because that might bring up memories of lynchings of black people in the past. Oh, bad Vincent. Oh, there I am being a comfort dog for the white conservatives. I used a hanging analogy. Oh, what shall I ever do? And see, there you go with the false accusations. There you go. There you go. It makes your friends happy. I don't do this to make them happy. I don't do this to make them happy. But see, now I'm at the point where if I do pick up the line, I'm going to be, you know, you're going to jump on me with disrespect. And you said you respected me on your show, but are you going to do the same on mine? See, that's the thing. And no, it doesn't mean I'm scared of you. I'm not scared of you. You can make that false accusation all you want to. You call me a snowflake. You say I'm thin-skinned. You can say all you want to. Doesn't make it true. Maybe in your mind it's true, but it's not true. The whole world sees what you are doing, or at least hear it. Okay, what do they see? What are they hearing? I told you I'm about the truth. I'm not about ideals or anything like that. I'm not about ideals. I'm not about politics or any of that other stuff. I'm a free-thinking black man, and I can think for myself. I don't need anyone to come and tell me, oh, this is how you need to be thinking. I don't need anyone to do that. See, I escaped the plantation. I'm no longer on the plantation. No, I'm not looking for an excuse not to let you on. I just want to get out what I want to say. But if I do pick up the line, you're going to treat me with respect, or you'll have a very short visit on this program. Saying the same thing? What same thing am I saying? That black people need to hold themselves accountable for their actions as well? That black people are not being hunted down like LeBron James says? That black people need to step up in their neighborhoods? That they need to be accountable for their own actions, that their fathers need to be fathers. Come on, tell me, I mean, really. But you said that since I didn't, you know, agreed to your request that you weren't going to come on this show. I said, okay, well, I tried. But it's like, you know, you're in my house. You don't come in my house and disrespect me in my house. You're not going to come in here making false accusations against me and I not do something about it. The very same thing that you accuse me of is what you're doing yourself. It's not about propaganda. You're not a threat to this show, Warren. I've been doing this show since 2009. You don't know the game. The game is packed up, folded up, and lying somewhere dusted in a closet. You don't know the game. You don't know what you're talking about, Warren. You don't know what you're talking about. You really don't. And it's not propaganda about black people. I'm not trying to smear black people. You know, you keep saying that. You keep pushing that point. You keep trying to push that point, and that is not what this show is about. You just don't want to hear anything negative being said about black folks. Look, I don't need this platform. I don't defame black people. I'm not sitting here defaming black people. Tell me one defamatory statement I've made about black people. Tell me one. And like I said before, I've only been on this platform for 5 years. 9 other years, I was by myself talking the same way I do right now. So I'm not on here and nobody is telling me what to say behind the scenes. And I've explained that to you on several occasions. Nobody tells me what to say. Robert Gardner doesn't call me up and say, Vincent, hey, you know, some of the things you said was out of the way. And, you know, we's white conservatives here, so we don't need you talking about us like this. No. I was talking like this long before I met Robert Gardner. And if you can't handle it, well, I don't know what to say about you. I don't know what to say about you. It says you are not allowed to go against the racist conservative script. What's racist in conservatism? If you dare change your song to humanize black people, then you are out of here. See, the false accusations. Once again, there you go, the false accusations. What do you mean I'm not allowed to go against the racist conservative script? Explain that. Explain that. Because I'm not reading from a script here. I'm not following anything. I'm not following anything here. Nobody's giving me a script to follow. Now, if I'm disrespectful to the host of this channel, yeah, he'll probably kick me off. Yeah, if I'm disrespectful to him. Hey there, bring it, boy. What key terms and talking points? What? See, you're not being specific. What key terms and talking points are you talking about? You see what I'm saying? Oh, don't worry. You know, you stay on there. I'm going to get you. I just want to get out what I need to say. But, hey, you keep on doing the dialogue in the chat room, we might never get to the phones. You know what? What do you know? I mean, and now you can't say that I didn't treat you with respect. You can't say that. And, you know, there were times when you said, oh, Vince has kicked me off his show and everything. The only time I kicked you off this show was because you were being disrespectful. How am I disrespecting you, Warren? How am I disrespecting you? I'm just responding to the disrespect you showed me. And not only that, the disrespect you shown Sarge, you shown Pianchi, you shown them all disrespect. Simply because they don't think like you do. Because we don't see ourselves as a monolith. We don't see ourselves as part of the collective. We see ourselves as individuals who can think for ourselves. Exactly. Exactly, Sarge. Exactly. That's what I say. But I've been accused of smearing black people, of caping for the white conservatives, and nobody proves it. Nobody can prove it. No clips are played or anything. It's just, oh, you just caping for the white folks. Oh, you're smearing black folks. And like I said before, I only scratch when I itch. And I only dance when I hear some music. See, there you go. See, he says Sergeant Pianchi are living out their alter egos here on Blog Talk Radio. They are frauds and liars. So, Warren, you seem to be a smart person. You seem to be a smart person. You seem to be a very smart person. Tell me, what would satisfy you? What would you want me to do right now that would satisfy you? I mean, just let me know. Because I'm not here to appease people, you know. And the very things you accuse me of and others of, you are more than guilty, more than 10 times guilty. And like I said, you call me whatever you want to. Go ahead, you know. I'm not going to be, oh, boo-hoo, he called me this. Okay. No, it's not going to happen like that, Warren. I'm sorry. It's not going to happen like that. Yeah, I asked, but you said you didn't want to come on here because I didn't meet your requests. And basically what you were trying to do was make sure everything was in your favor so you can come on this show. And I was like, dude, you don't tell me how to run my show. You don't tell me how to run my show. That's not going to happen. It's not going to happen. And if you don't like that, well, like I said, you can go. I'm not going to cry any tears over it. I done said my part. I done said what I needed to say. So, but anyway, but folks, I wanted to talk about this incident that happened in Columbus, Ohio, about this girl. Let me pull this up. Takiya Young, Columbus, Ohio. You know, this girl was accused of stealing some liquor. And, well, the narrative goes like this. This girl was simply killed because she was accused of stealing liquor and that she was killed in cold blood. And I said, are you serious? And one person even went so far to say, well, why are they so uptight about, you know, her stealing some liquor? They got enough money. They making millions of dollars and people working there it's not about that, because one thing people don't understand is when a person steals something from a store, you know, grocery store, whatever like that, you know, they have to make up the cost of that item. And as a result, the prices go up in order to make up that cost. And who usually ends up paying that cost are the consumers. And people make this, oh, you know, they got enough insurance. They make that up all they want to. They make that story up so many times. Oh, they got enough insurance. They got enough insurance. So, oh, yeah, just go in into a store and just steal whatever. They shouldn't touch you because they got enough insurance because they got millions of dollars. But then the prices go up, and the very people who are talking about, oh, they got insurance, they're the ones who end up paying that higher cost. Oh, hey, do your show. Hey, Warren, you can do your show. Do your show. Have at it. Tell all your listeners the lies you've been saying about me. Go right ahead, dude. You're not intimidating me. You're not making me mad. I'm not upset with you. Go and do your thing, man. Yes, Arch. Yeah, exactly. But anyway, people were, you know, they were up in arms about, you know, this girl was pregnant. This girl was 21 years old, and I realized she has a six-year-old child, which means she had her first child at 15. There's a problem right there. But I find it very funny that people talk about when a woman is pregnant, that the fetus growing within her is really not a human being until it is born. But now people are like, oh, this girl was pregnant. They killed her and her unborn child. Oh, now y'all want to have sympathy for the unborn child now. That's another thing. That's another thing right there. I'm like, wait a minute. Wait, hold up. I guarantee you, these are some of the most pro-choice people out there who would tell you that, oh, that child, it's not a child until it is born. It's just a fetus. It's just some tissue. But now this girl gets killed, and all of a sudden, oh, her and her unborn child were killed. And folks, why do we keep copying an attitude with police officers when they pull us over for something? If you're not guilty, show them you're not guilty. I remember one time I was in Alabama. I was driving through Alabama. My wife and I, we had visited Florida, and we were on our way home from Florida. And I went over the speed limit. And before I could even react, I saw on the side of the road was a police officer. And I'm pretty sure he saw me. And I said, I hope he didn't see me. And I saw him coming onto the road, coming behind me. And before he even turned his lights on, I had already pulled over. I said, you know what? I'm guilty. I know what I did was wrong. And police officer pulled up. He said, sir, you know why I pulled you over? I said, yeah, I was probably speeding. He said, yeah, you were speeding, yada, yada, yada. He was very amicable. He didn't pull his gun out because he saw a black man in the car. He didn't say, get out the car. I didn't cop an attitude with him because I knew I was guilty. He came, and I was hoping I didn't get a ticket, but I did get a ticket. I had to pay the ticket. And I don't even think we were there for 10 minutes. And next thing you know, boom, I'm on my way home. I was like, oh, well, I got a ticket. Should have been speeding. I didn't cop an attitude with him. Now, if I hadn't been speeding and he pulled me over, I still wouldn't cop an attitude with him. I'd be like, okay, I'll fight this in court. But too many times, too many of our young people, they want to cop an attitude. Oh, I ain't got, what are you talking about? What are you talking about? And they escalate the situation. This is where black people get killed. These are the scenarios where black people get killed. But they say, they'll say things like, oh, if they call a white person, oh, they'll just let him off. But I've seen white people get killed by police officers because they copped an attitude with a police officer. And I guess Warren is off now. So, you know, later for you. Do whatever you want to, Warren. Do your worst. He said, Sarge, I will expose your fake persona on my upcoming broadcast. I will psychoanalyze Bianchi as well. Oh, boy. Good trying to do that. Vincent will be my focus, but you two will not escape my scrutiny. Okay, you focus on me all you want to. Say about me whatever you want to. I'm not going to change for you. I'm not going to change for anybody. Because once you grab a hold of the truth, you grab onto it, and you hold on for dear life. And that's what I'm going to do. I'm not going to change my perspective or my rhetoric because you disagree with me. That's not going to happen. And you want to go and boo-hoo and about, you know, oh, Vincent, he's black and he does. Okay, well, go ahead. Go. Bye. Later for you. But anyway, I'm coming up to the end of the first hour. Wow. This show didn't. Oh, bring it, boy. You know what? I have to get you on here for an hour or two. I had to get you on here for an hour or two. Yeah, we're going to get that. But anyway, coming up at the top of the hour, let me do the advertisements and everything. And on the other side, I will get back with you folks. You are listening to Black by Color only on CNM Radio.
Did you know podcast advertising is one of the most effective ways to advertise your product or service? Thousands of people could be hearing your ad here. To start boosting your business with podcast advertising, go now to conservativenationmedia2017@gmail.com and send us a copy of the ad you want played, and we will do the rest. Thank you, and God bless.
Tune in for The Lucid Libertarian with Lori Ann Show, Sundays 6 p.m. to 8 p.m. Pacific Time, 9 to 11 p.m. Eastern, to discuss current events, news, and political opinion with Lucid Libertarian flair. I promote liberty, freedom, our Constitution, Bill of Rights, and limited government, while speaking against corporate and government corruption, tyranny, and the globalist Great Reset agenda that undermines our precious American sovereignty. Please also like and follow my Lucid Libertarian with Lori Ann page on Facebook. You can help me battle their freedom-loathing censorship by visiting my page regularly, along with reacting, commenting, and sharing my posts. Thank you, and I hope listening to my show becomes part of your Sunday night routine.
All right. Welcome back to the show. Call-in number 646-478-5284. That's 646-478-5284. And before I go any further, I had to mention something that Warren said on one of his programs one time. He said, I allow Sarge and Bianchi to come on here and they take over the show and everything and stuff like that. But what was Warren just trying to do? He was trying to come on here and control the show too. And I already explained the reason why I let Sarge and Bianchi do their thing is because I'm trying to learn from them too. See, I don't just do this so you can hear my voice. I want to learn from you too. I want to learn from my audience as well because I don't know everything. Yes, this 55-year-old nondescript black man in Durham, North Carolina, does not know everything. Oh, surprise. And that's why I allow Sarge and Pianchi to do their thing. It's not so-called I'm letting them take over the show. See, I'm not so arrogant to think that, oh, yes, you must listen to me. And like I said, when I say anything on this program, you can take what I say and look it up. You know, don't just take me at my word. You know, examine what I say. Because I don't get up here to say something and then you're just supposed to believe it just at face value. Nah. Because I miss it sometimes, too. Sometimes I misspeak. Sometimes I make slips of the tongue. And I don't do this show just to hear myself talk. You know? But I don't want people to think that, oh, all Vincent does is talk. That's all he does is talk. He don't listen. And, you know, and I'm a talker. I can talk. Lord knows. But sometimes I want to listen to what you have to say. Exactly. I think it's Suzette. Yeah. You never stop learning. That's what I used to tell my kids in my in my Sunday school. I'd ask them, I'd say, how many of y'all are so looking forward to graduating from high school and you don't have to do any of this learning anymore? They raise their hand. Yeah, yeah. I say, guess what? You're going to be learning until the day you die. They're like, what? Yeah. Wow. Amazing, ain't it? I even told them, how many of y'all enjoy your summer vacations? They're like, yeah, I enjoy my summer. Guess what? If you're not a millionaire or a billionaire, by the time you graduate out of high school, you don't get no summer vacations anymore. You might take a week or two in the summer. I haven't had a summer vacation since I graduated from high school. Not the 3 months that we used to have when I was coming up. And I tell them, you know, I try to get them prepared for life. Hey, you graduate from high school, don't think that means you stop learning. Nah, you're going to continue to learn for the rest of your life. I'm still learning new things. And that's one of the things I like. I don't want to know everything, because when I accomplish learning something new, that's one of the biggest joys in my life. And that's why when people come on here and they have something to say, I give them the room to say it, as long as they're not disrespectful. But see, that's the one thing I can't tolerate is disrespect. I don't like the disrespect, because I have a different point of view than you do. I don't like disrespect. And you can call me thin skin and snowflake all you want to, but I just don't like disrespect. I don't like giving disrespect. And I don't like receiving it. But I do understand one thing about respect, though. Respect is earned. And if you want respect, you need to show it. And I try to be as respectful as I can, even in my everyday life. When I go to the grocery store, and the person checking out my groceries might make a little mistake or anything, I'm like, hey, this is cool. You made a mistake. That's all. But some people are like, what is your problem? What are you doing working here? Oh, they do my groceries and whatever, get my stuff packed. I tell them, hey, have a nice day. You never know how those four words can really make someone's day. Have a nice day. But some people, they're so narcissistic. They're so caught up in themselves, they think, oh, I'm here, I'm the customer, so you got to treat me with respect. I don't have to treat you with respect, but you better treat me with respect. Nah, respect is a door that swings both ways. And if you treat someone disrespectful, don't be so shocked and surprised when someone treats you the same way. Well, I appreciate that, Sarge. I appreciate that. He said you have one of the cardinal virtues of appropriate humility, which is unknown in progressive Marxists like Warren. You know, they tend to think of themselves as demigods who can reshape human nature itself. You know, that's just how I am. Some people might think I'm dorky. They might think I'm a nerd. Hey, like I said, you can call me whatever you want. But I'm a big dorky nerd. I'm 6'2", almost 300 pounds. Need to lose some weight, but hey. But anyway, okay, well, I guess Warren just ran away, you know. He didn't want to be patient. He wanted to come on here and try to control this show, so he's gone. Hey, bye, go. But anyway, you all know the procedure. I have to release the fruit bats. Uh-oh, I'm messing up here. My fruit bat alert. You all know the deal. You know the procedure. If you're coming on here with character assassinations and ad hominems, even though I was very lax with Warren today, but if you're coming on here and you just want to indulge in character assassinations and ad hominem attacks, gaslighting, trolling, excessive profanity, things of that sort, I advise you to hang up right now because you will have a very short time on this program. And like I said, I don't care if you agree with me or disagree with me. Be respectful in your interactions on this program. Okay, so having said all that, let me go to the phones. Hello, welcome to the show.
Well, Brother Warren, I'm a dazer, man. I'm really sorry that I don't have ready for you to use at this time a line of anti-fruit bat products that I'm developing, one of which is an anti-fruit bat disinfectant that clears the air of the noxious gases they leave when they tend to spew their volatile flies when they enter your space. It's not ready yet, but as soon as I get it ready, I'll let you know and I have it available. But look here, man. I'm just, I don't want to unduly dwell on this guy. This guy's a clown. This guy is scared.
Yeah.
He's gutless. That's why he won't debate me. He challenges everybody else to a debate except me. His excuse is that he's above me. I'm beneath him. See, he would be lowering himself to engage in a debate with me. See, that's his excuse for not doing it. See, he challenges everybody on the web except me. I say, hey, man, let's get it on. No, you would cause me to lose my prestige. But look, I have never seen anybody. Who engages in more stereotypes than he does. I mean, now, the leftist and progressives are always excoriating conservatives like you and me and Pianki and just anybody who aligns himself as a conservative. But speaking of stereotypes, you're bigoted. You're being a bigot. That's not true. It's a stereotype. Well, this guy is literally, he pulls out the glossary, the thesaurus, the dictionary, the encyclopedia of stereotypes about conservatives every time he opens his mouth. I mean,
yep.
He'll say things like, I don't need to lie on him because I can pull him apart telling exactly the exact truth about what he said without having to tell one single fault, not one. But I think he even went so far as to say that my guns are a phallic substitute for me. Now, I don't know what the greatest stereotype than that. Oh, that's not the only one. That I live in a cowboy fantasy. You know the American stereotype of the admiration for the cowboy, the Old West. There is no stereotype or trope that the Marxist left has pulled about America its traditions, its heritage, its constitution. There's not one he will not pull out and denigrate. He is the ultimate epitome of a person who dwells in, engages in, lives in stereotypes. But he'll cry foul the minute you say something that literally is true, like the violent crime rate among black males ages 17 to 24 in the neighborhood of 205 for every 100,000 black men in the age range of 17 to 24 as compared to white youth, which is something like 5.3. Now, that is literally the truth, but he'll say that you're saying something untrue about black people. That is literally true by statistics, certainly. And even if you want to say it's off, okay, Warren, I'll tell you what. Let's say it's completely off the bat. They're wrong significant. So let me cut it by 50%. Then what is 102? What does 102 say for 100,000? See, this guy, but the facts don't matter. He's a Marxist. We've got to understand, they do not deal in truth. They deal in exaggeration. They deal in stereotype. They deal in caricature. They deal ultimately in class warfare. Dialectical materialism is their stock and trade and the biggest tool in their utility belt. It is to have classes of people fighting against each other in order to achieve progress. That's what Karl Marx said. And he epitomizes it every time he opens his mouth. So I'm just saying, I mean, look, see, I don't make up things about him. I don't know anything about this man. He makes up things about me. He literally tells me things about my history that I know are not true. I know what I've done in my life. I got certified proof of it. So I said, I'm not interested in proving anything to him anymore, unless, of course, he's willing to put a wager of money on it, which we will go through a broker, put the money down, and go to our favorite charities. His or mine, $5,000. I'll prove everything I said about my past, everything. I have it in certified documentation that you can corroborate independently with my name, address, and everything. But you got to make it worth my while if you want to do that. And if you do, $5,000 anytime you're ready, Warren, anytime. But see, he's a liar. He knows he's a liar. He knows he makes things up, which is really difficult to have a meaningful discussion with someone who literally makes things up as they go along. Because, you know, you and me, we're kind of bound. We try to be bound by fact and truth and things we can corroborate, you know, either rationally, logically, with documentation, through corroborative sources, through authority. He's not bound by that. He will call you a liar if you disagree with him of an interpretation of history. That makes you not just somebody who may be wrong or may have an opinion that's not nuanced enough. You're a liar. See, then terms you as a liar because you don't agree with him. Like but the other day, I gave a concrete example. Go ahead.
What I was going to say was, can you... Of all the times that you've listened to me, and I don't know how long you've been listening to this program or whatever, can you pull up one time, just one time, one clip of me smearing black folks? Just one time.
No. You criticize specific black people who have done things like any reasoning, thinking person should analyze every action of human beings that are public. You are allowed to make a judgment on them. You should be able. I don't know where we got that idea you're not supposed to be judgmental. Where do we get that you're not supposed to be judgmental?
And that's why I'm trying to tell
you. And
many
of the people you criticize are public figures with public powers and authority. Because what are they immune from criticism?
Yeah. And I said, I told that to him several times. I said, give me the clip. Show me smearing black people. I don't do it. What I'm doing is trying to point out what we need to do to have a sense of accountability and responsibility in our community, because we're sitting here pointing at the white man all the time, pointing at him and saying, you're the reason why we're doing this and everything. No, you need to look at yourself. I even pulled up a scripture in the Bible that says judgment must begin at the house of God. And I was telling him, I said, now that's a principle that we all need to take to heart. Before we blame somebody else for something, we need to look at ourselves first. We are the first ones that we need to look at and say, okay, I see I'm falling short in this area in my life. Let me look at myself and find out why I'm falling short. You know, that's all I'm doing. That's all I do. That's the only reason why I do this show, you know. And he still comes up with the false accusation that if I don't, you know, concede to my white masters on this program, I'll be kicked off of this show.
Mm-hmm,
no,
exactly right.
I was doing this before Robert Garning asked me onto his program. I was doing this long before he asked me. And I tell him, even to this day, I don't have a producer. I don't have a correspondence or anything. A lot of times when I do the show, I just wing it sometimes. But a lot of times I do my own research. I do my own study. I pull up articles that I see on my day to day, and I say, okay, this is what I'm going to talk about. I have nobody telling me, Vincent, this is what you need to say on this program. But he still doesn't get it. He still keeps pushing that. He keeps beating that old dead horse, keeps gnawing on that old bone. Excuse me. He keeps gnawing on that old bone. And it's like, man, I mean, what am I doing? If I were to sit here and talk to a brick wall, I would probably get a better response out of that brick wall than I would from Warren.
Look, he launches into endless series of lectures. He's non-responsive to the points you raise, where you can answer and rebut or agree with. So occasionally, like, it's like a stop clock. He's right about a couple things every couple times a day. Okay. And when he's right, I readily acknowledge it. I mean, I don't have any problem with, look, if he's putting it on accurate history or accurate fact, I readily acknowledge it. Because I want to get past what we agree on and go to the nub of what we don't agree on. So, like, what he'll do is, you know, like the other day when I was with him, when he said that black people were not allowed to read when they were slaves. Okay. That was true in about 7 southern states. It was true. They had anti-literacy laws. But it wasn't true in all of them. I cited the states in which that was so. There were no anti-literacy. And even in the states where there were anti-literacy laws, you know, slave owners being pragmatic people who oftentimes would send slaves in a town to pick up supplies. They'd take the wagon. They'd go into town. They'd get a pass from master. They'd go into town. They'd pick up the supplies, they have to be able to at least read certain things to ensure they're getting the right goods, and it was the
right
weight. So, and they would disregard, even in places where it was against the law to teach a slave to read, it was commonly disregarded. You know, like laws against smoking marijuana and laws against prohibition, drinking alcohol during prohibition. People would disregard the laws when they were inconvenient to them. So even slave owners would disregard the anti-literacy law in the states where it was illegal, and it wasn't illegal in all of the states. But I point this out to him, they call me a liar. I mean, I literally point out, I can show him where the law was there on the books, and the law wasn't there on the books, and he calls me a liar. See, this is why he hates the advanced studies placement in Florida, because it does introduce these facts about black people acquiring skills in slavery, which redounded to their benefit when they were no longer slaves. He's a demagogue.
That's right.
So he says, no, they're not trying to accurately teach history. They're trying to tell you that slavery was good. That is a damnable lie. They're not trying to do that.
Yeah.
They're not trying to do it, but he'll say that's what they're doing because he's a demagogue. He's a Marxist. We got to keep that in mind. They cannot tell the truth. They don't tell the truth. The truth does not help their cause. That's why they demagogue, distort, and lie, and that's why he won't debate me because he knows I'll call him out precisely, accurately, based on what I know, but I have to make up anything about him. I just go by what he says to us.
Yeah.
I have to make up anything about him.
Yeah. And here's the thing, too, Sarge. You know, we can sit here and gripe about, you know, the laws against us learning how to read. Oh, they wanted to keep us. Well, do you know how to read now? I mean, I ain't never had a problem with reading. Like I said before, when I was in 1974, when I entered the first grade, I was in the top 10 of people in my age group in Prince George's County, Maryland. 1974, that's less than 10 years from the end of the civil rights era. And I was out reading everybody in my class, black, white, it didn't matter who you were. I was out reading everybody in my class. So why are we still griping about, oh, well, they didn't want us to learn how to read? Well, shoot, I know how to read now. I mean,
man, you know, I know.
It was wrong for them to do that.
you know what, though, Vince? Look, man, this guy's his constant attempts to stir up outrage about the past and to personalize past history, though it's still going on in the present, is nothing more than an attempt to spur up outrage and implement fundamental transformation of the United States in the present. It's not to outline, delineate stories of the past so we can learn from them and grow from them and benefit by the knowledge of the past. His knowledge of it is like all Marxists have used everywhere they try to come into power, where they all do, they are simply using it to advance their agenda. That's all to gain power, to principles and adopt their corrupt ones. It's just that simple.
Yeah.
I know it sounds like, you know, it is that simple. They don't see, communists do understand human nature, even though they try to disregard it and alter it and change it. They understand human nature, like principles of guilt, particularly envy, rage, helplessness. They understand these things and how they affect human nature, and they exploit them. And that's what he does, and he ilk. That's what they do. Yeah. That's why he'll never debate me, because I know, because I used to be like him. I used to believe many of the things he does. I know what they did to me. Like I told him, I said, man, I used to believe that white people were hybrid mutants created on the island of Patmos 6,000 years ago by the big head scientist, Dr. Yaku, because Elijah Muhammad and the Nation of Islam and Message to the Black Man told me that. And I believed it.
Yeah.
I believed it. He swallowed all hook, line, sinker. He's a grown ass man. He still believes.
Yeah, and I like.
Well,
what,
maybe not that. Excuse me. I don't want to make up things, Vince. Maybe not that particular aspect. I'm not like him. I don't know if he believes that or not. But he totally swallowed all the box clap shots. He's the lead my China Communist Party. He said it, not me.
Yeah.
He admires China.
Yeah. So.
I mean, one more needs to be said.
And I appreciate that. I appreciate what you just said, too. Suzette in the chat room, she said that the horse is dead, walk away. And, yeah, that's what I'm going to do, Suzette. I'm not going to continue beating that single
dead
horse.
Well, Vince, there is something I want to bring to your attention, Vince, because I think it's outrageous. And I know you want to know about this.
Yeah.
Did you hear what happened in New Mexico?
No. Mm-mm.
Okay, there's a governor, a New Mexico governor, and I was the highest executive officer of a state of the union. Her name is Lujan Grisham. You know what she did? She's a leftist, so this is what leftists do. She said that she was going to suspend gun rights on Friday, citing an emergency declaration for gun violence. And in violation of this Bruin decision by the Supreme Court, the United States Constitution saying the right to keep and bear arms shall not be infringed, and the New Mexico State Constitution, in violation of all three of those things, this woman says that she's going to suspend open and concealed carry laws for Albuquerque and another county in New Mexico. And this is what she said. When she was pressed on the legality of these actions, she responded by saying that her oath to the Constitution is not absolute.
Oh my god.
This woman needs to be impeached and removed immediately. The fact that they won't do it says all you need to know about the legislature of New Mexico. I don't know what their particular laws are on impeaching and removing an official, an elected official. I don't know. So maybe they might not have the authority to do it without certain things. I don't know. But if they have it, they ought to immediately move to start doing it. She declared a 30-day health emergency. She used health as an emergency. She has no authority to do it under the New Mexico State Constitution whatsoever. But she just aggregated power unto herself.
Beam me up, Scotty. Beam me up, Scotty.
This is what leftists do. Leftists don't care about the rule of law and or the Constitution, not even their oath to office. She said her oath to office is an absolute. Well, I agree with her if you would resign. See, if she cannot uphold the constitutional law, she has been obligated to resign. That's why I thought about me as a police officer. I said, look, I got to enforce the laws as written. The day I say to myself, that I don't think I should enforce these laws because I don't think they're right. And believe me, Illinois had a whole bunch of laws I didn't think were right. But I wasn't prepared to resign my job. And I said to myself, the day I can't enforce the laws, the authority that goes with it. But not her.
Yeah.
She's in power. Democrats want power. They don't care about
that's
principles.
They
never will.
Yeah, that's what they want. And I posted something on my Facebook page today. Let me pull it up right quick. And this thing, it's an old Native American proverb. It says, never follow a leader who is more in love with power than people. I said,
right.
Man, those are some of the simplest words I think I ever heard, but they ring so profound. I mean, that's basically what we're seeing in our government today, you know, with Joe Biden and Kamala. Oh gosh, I think I just felt a little twinge of a headache when I said those two names. But and what they're trying to do to Donald Trump and you know this whole election cycle and everything, it's like, you know, Scotty, please bring me up. There's no longer any more intelligent life down here, you know. I mean, just
well, I'll tell you one thing. That's encouraging, Vince. The sheriff of that county that she is suspending, he says he's not going to force that edict. He says he's going to bide his time. Whatever she says with regard to this, he has no intention. She says, and by the way, she said only the New Mexico State Police are required to enforce this order. Although the sheriff said he's not going to do it anyway. But in New Mexico, she's going to order the police that she controls, the state police, and then I'd say, okay, you know, if you're going to discipline me, because then I have a right to a civil service hearing, I say, okay, go ahead and bring me up on charges. And we'll see whether or not I have to enforce unconstitutional orders, illegal and unconstitutional orders that were not passed by the legislature. This is an edict by the governor. It's like Hitler taking enabling act powers. Unifies the office of chancellor and president and legislator in one person. That's what she's doing.
Yeah. It's an act of rebellion. It's an act of rebellion. That's what it is. You know, people might look at it and say the sheriff himself might be in rebellion, but she's the one in rebellion. The sheriff is just trying to follow the law. But she's basically borderline treason, basically, if it ain't full-blown treason. You know, you think because you got the power, you can do whatever you want to? Nah. Lady, you need to sit down somewhere.
You got to keep remembering, she's a leftist. This is what they do. What do they do with COVID? COVID mandates. They're going to order us in electrical vehicles. They're going to take away our gas stoves. They can't barbecue. They can't have a gas-fired pizza oven. I mean, it's the constant petty restrictions and tyrannical edicts. It never ends with these people. Never, never, never. Not until they gain absolute and total power. Little things and big things, they want to exercise arbitrary and capricious control over your own good. The only thing they won't let you do without restriction if they have their way is kill babies in the womb. Now, they're all for that and chop off perfectly healthy sexual organs on children. Beyond that, they want to control every other aspect of your life.
That's right.
Everything.
Earlier when Warren said he's going to do a show about me and everything, first of all, you know, go to your safe space and say whatever you want to about me and everything. But if you're still listening, Warren, if you're still listening, I want to suggest a book to you called Color, Communism, and Common Sense by Manning Johnson. Read that book. Tell me what you think about it. that should suit you to a T.
And you know what? Warren, I might find him tolerable, if he would respond and be responsive when you. Because that's what when I first started going on this show, the first two or three times, he was actually civil. He actually engaged in a dialogue, and his response. I think he thought. He was intellectually superior to me. He was going to be able to persuade me to strengthen his argument simply by persuasion, making me realize I just wasn't quite smart enough or reason enough to understand why his point of view was a superior one. See, he regularly says that, by the way. You know, that you just – and notice how many times when he's doing his little discussion, he says, you just don't understand and fill in the blank.
See, your understanding is not quite sound enough. It's not developed enough. It isn't knowledgeable enough. See, we have this word. We're the high priest of knowledge, and we're going to pass it on and transmit it on to you so you can reform your ways and step into enlightened, illuminated uplands. It's for your own good.
Yeah.
See, and he was that way at first. He was trying to persuade me, clearly trying to persuade me, and I was, he'd make a point, and I'd rebut it, usually with historical facts, tradition, law, whatever. But I would rebut it. We just didn't have an agreement. That's okay. I ain't got no problem with nobody disagreeing. But he became increasingly frustrated with me, and then he started calling me names, and I knew what he was.
Yes, that's how they do. That's
Mr. Hyde.
That is a
came out from
response.
The
that's a classic response right there. If you don't follow along their point of view or you don't agree with their rhetoric, they take it as a personal insult. They take it personally, and then all of a sudden they want to launch at you like a grizzly bear that's cornered. You know, they want to launch it. Oh, you know, you don't want to agree with me and everything. And see, like I told them earlier in this show, I said that's the reason why, you know, you look at me in derision because I don't agree with your point of view, you know. And, you know, I'm not going to agree with your point of view, and you can come up and call me all the names you want to, but it's not going to change my mind. And if you think that's a method for changing my mind, it's not going to happen. I'm sorry,
Vince, think about it for a minute. They accuse cops of being authoritative and high-handed because you don't respect their authority. So then they're going to beat you up.
Yeah.
They always accuse cops of doing that. He did exactly the same thing with me. Exactly.
This
projection with them. They know what they are. They're not always aware of it when they're doing their little demagogic tricks. But it eventually comes up the surface of, you don't accept their authority, they're going to destroy you. Like the cop they accused, who you ask him, well, why'd you pull me over? And, you know, or the cop says, get out of the car. And now the courts, by the way, have rules that, you know, they got a right to pull you out of the car. And the courts have already said it. The case in Ohio, Supreme Court went to it. Cops can order you out of the car in a traffic stop. It could even be arbitrary. They can tell you out of the car. But he said, well, I don't have to get out of the car. And the cop didn't know. In the state you're in, they don't have regulations that says cops can't pull you out of the car unless they have a cause to search your car or arrest. Some states have that. But in states where they don't, the cop can tell you to come out of the car. Okay?
Yeah.
Then they'll say, well, you ain't got no right to come out of the car. You know? They accuse cops of being that. Well, one is the same way. You what's wrong with you? You don't agree with me? Well, I'm gonna destroy you. I'm gonna beat your ass. I'm gonna beat your head and I'm gonna take this baton and fuck you up. Well, wooden shampoo.
I mean, really.
You defy my authority. My authority is my knowledge, my superior knowledge, and my superior moral imperative over you. Why won't you accept it?
Yeah, and he's not the first person I've dealt with that type of mindset. You know, like I said, I've been doing this since 2009. You know, and he's not the first. He's not going to be the last. You know, and I'm just going to continue along my way. You know, these people, they come up here. They try to intimidate you. They think that they have some authority over you because, you know, they've been taught by the best and the brightest of the liberal blacks and everything and stuff like that. And they think they're more morally and intellectually superior to you. And they think, you know, you need to sit down and you let me talk to you. And they don't realize that what they have been taught has been a bunch of garbage. And when someone tries to rebut them, they feel threatened. They feel like, oh, hey, you know, I'm like, well, you're not God, okay? I'm not going to bow down and worship you because you got some knowledge, you know.
You're a religious man, Vince, and you know, as Jesus Christ said, the meek shall inherit the earth. You understand that? I'm sure to some degree you believe that. They don't.
Yes.
They do not believe that at all. That's one thing you don't like about you. I'm telling you, look, Vince. He serves a valuable object lesson. He really does. Vince does serve. He is among the worst sort of progressive Marxist demagogue, but he's a useful object lesson because he's so unskilled that he's not very skilled. He's too blunt. He's not subtle enough.
See? And, yeah, and like exactly. I said, he has short views, and he loses his temper when things don't go his way. So he's kind of, but his crudity, his, you know, his clumsiness belies what the rest of them are who may be a bit more skilled. And I think in that sense, since we can see what his tactics are, we can put on the alert for them, watch, when they say this, when they do this, people who are a little bit more nuanced and more sophisticated, it's a much gentler version of what Brother Warren tried to put across.
Yeah, yeah. And like I said, he's going to do his little show today about me and everything. I'm like, hey, do your thing. Hey, you know, I'll make sure you have some clips. I'll make sure you have some clips that you can put on your show. You know, and everything. But
I mean, when they make up fantasy land worlds about you, I mean, the imagination is boundless. I mean, it's the easiest thing in the world to make things up about a whole cloth and out of thin air. It's, you know, when you're held to some sort of rigor, that's a little bit more difficult to do. See, you hold yourself to rigor. He's not bound by truth and fact. And that's the whole thing about it. He isn't.
Yeah.
Let me
hold you right there. I got another caller coming in. I think this is Pianchi, if I'm correct. Hello, welcome to the show.
Man, I don't know how in the world you guys let your show be redirected by idiots. That's a waste of money. It don't make no sense. Who's the judge?
You know,
he judges what and you judges what you say. It's a waste of time.
Yeah, and I told him he's welcome on the show anytime. But he comes on here, he starts with the false rhetoric again and everything, and he calls me a snowflake, and he says he's going to do a show about me, and I'm like, go ahead, dude. I won't be there. You know, I'm done. You know. I'm done with the whole thing. You know, just like
people come on your show and they advertise their show.
They're supposed to
have 30,000 one time, next 300,000, next time 16,000, and they on your show all the time. And others.
Yeah.
I'm telling you, leave them people alone. You're just wasting your time. It's nothing coming out of it of usefulness.
Yeah. And it's just like Suzette said. She said, if the horse is dead, walk away. And I say, you know what? Go right ahead, dude. Go right ahead. Do your thing. You know, you can make all the false accusations against me. You can smear my name and everything. I'm still going to be here doing my thing. You know, if you're ready to have a talk.
Do you burn firewood? I think you should take up a hobby of burning firewood so you can go out and chop it if you want to expend energy. In a useful way, at least you get something from it.
I like that. We were talking about firewood on the job yesterday. We had these wooden pallets and everything, and one of my coworkers said, "Man, I would love to get a bunch of these and just make a bonfire with them."
They make good slab. But you know the thing that I was going to talk about, the big old article about the head of the teachers union in Chicago is coming under fire. So she sends her child to private schools. And I'm saying, well, hell.
Of course.
The woman is smart.
Of course.
That's right. She knows what, she knows better than you and I what the Chicago schools are like.
Yeah.
I mean.
She's smart. Just like I said on Joe Brown's, like I said on the show yesterday, I say it's not the kid's fault. It's the parents, family, and community fault because they exploit the kids. These are blacks that's doing this shit. Ain't no white's got no involvement in St. Louis public schools, Chicago. It's blacks. They the one exploiting those kids and making money. And you know what? I don't blame them because if the parents don't take care of things the way they should do, they should and will run wild.
Yep.
Now, see, we point out the fact that there are black administrators and governmental leaders in all of these black cities with these good god-awful, horrid results. And he'll say we're talking about black people. No, we're talking about the black people that run these institutions. Marva Collins
exactly.
could run it that way.
Yeah, exactly. Oh, gosh, I forgot about her.
Then they talk about Ron DeSantis won't let him have. What the hell has Black history got to do with learning how to do advanced mathematics? Tell me, somebody.
That's right.
Please. Science, yes. Tell me. What the hell does that have to do? And nobody's
right,
stopping you from teaching. You can teach your kids whatever you want to. Apparently you do, because we run into a bunch of them with those type of Francis Crest Wilson attitudes, Michael Braddock. We run into them all the time, don't you, Sean?
Oh, yes, sir.
Yep.
I just got found my copy of The Iceman and Aaron, and I'm reacquainting myself with all the nonsense that's in that thing.
Yoruga, who is a word that come out of the Mali Empire amongst the Dogon. They never intended to use that damn word like that.
Yeah, well, they communicate with the dark star of Sirius or something with their melanin. Remember? That's what Francis Crest Wilson.
Yeah.
Oh, you didn't? I didn't tell you a couple of weeks ago.
No.
Iredale, he passed away the 14th of last month.
No, I didn't know that. I really feel
sad.
I didn't
know that either. I'm sad.
Yeah, I had attended his funeral before I did my last show. It was online because he's in Florida and I'm in North Carolina, but he passed away. I don't know how he passed away or whatever. He did say he had pancreatic cancer, and sometimes that cancer can be kind of aggressive.
Yeah, that's something the worst.
Yeah, it's real sudden,
yeah.
Man. It just hits you.
Yeah, and
well,
yeah, his daughter. So I'm gonna miss the dialogue y'all used to have, you know. But yeah, he passed away. I gave him something. I think they planted a tree in his honor down in Fort Walton Beach, Florida. And but yeah, he passed away about a month ago.
Sorry to hear that.
Yeah. But anyway, let me put a pause. Let me pause you guys just a second. I got another caller coming in. Hello, caller. Welcome to the show.
I feel so neglected. New Orleans puts a show on about Sarge. He puts a show on about you. He never puts a show on about me. I don't understand this. What is it about you guys that makes you guys so important to Brother Warren?
Because we're black and don't follow, and we're off the plantation.
Dangerous to them. We're traitors. We're race traitors. We must be race.
We're rethinking black people.
Yeah. Well, you know, if you're a black guy and a conservative, you're naturally a traitor.
Yeah.
By itself.
Yeah.
Yeah. That automatically makes you one.
Yeah,
I've been hearing you, Sarge, for years on other shows. And when I've drove by and I haven't even called in, and you try to get facts and figures, and the black hosts, they just don't want to listen to it. So, yeah, I guess it's just continuing. But Brother Warren, he takes it to another level. He just continues and continues and continues and continues. Hey.
Double down. Yeah. Word. You're like, triple down. Triple down.
He self-hates himself. That's what his problem is.
Yeah.
Triple
down.
Yeah, I know. Yeah, well, I'm Bianchi.
I've been talking to you for a long time. I've been talking to Joe for a long time.
Around, man.
You know what's going on.
And you know, I know Joe Montana been listening to me for a long time. He knows I've been consistent in everything I said. Joe, have I ever sounded a false note, inconceivable, unless, of course, I say I have new information and I no longer believe this on the basis of the new information I have acquired. Other than that, I've been consistent in everything I've been saying ever since I've been talking on Blog Talk.
You've always had the notes and the documents right in front of you, which is something I don't do. You obviously like to do research, currently better than a lot of college students do. But the thing is that you don't mind doing it. When I do research, and I have to, I'll do it almost as thorough as you do, because you go back to the source, then the source of the source, then the source of the source of the source. I will not do that just to express myself in front of a blog talk radio crowd, in front of somebody that, like, say, a professor or something. That's different. But in front of the people here who never get it, I won't do it. Luckily, you like to do it. I don't.
Oh, it's for me more than them, because it reinforces my own knowledge. You know, make sure that it help refresh my memory on things I may have forgotten. And I actually do it more for me than I do it for them. And I know that most of them are not going to believe what I say, and then I have to come up with, you know, at least to be true to myself, I have to come up with sound arguments in order to support my position. That makes me stronger, actually, even though, they do what they do.
Sarge has always been a strong constitutionalist. I remember a long time ago. Yeah. He used to stick to his guns on that. And I have to take my hat off to him. He's a very astute, smart person. Just like you are, Montana.
I am glad you brought that up, because, Sarge, I always thought that Article 1, Section 8 was the general welfare clause. You corrected me the other day, and I've said that for years with people who thought or said they knew the Constitution. Nobody ever told me where the clause was.
It's right at the beginning of the Constitution, the preamble.
In the preamble. They never told me that. Too bad I never arranged the debate years ago. We would have gotten that out of the way years ago.
Oh, yeah. Well, we owe it to our fellow citizens, man. We owe it to them, because they're not educated in school about it. Somebody ought to tell them something about the foundational document of our very legal system. Somebody.
Oh, yeah. But these people that I told to, that I said, I've always complained about the Article 1, Section 8 clause, and they always said, well, yeah, the general welfare clause, they concurred with me. And I'm going to have to take another look at it. Because somebody else said it was derived from the Declaration of Independence, which it may be. No, I don't think so, but I'll have to take another look at it. Oh, and by the way, the black conservative and Pianchi and anybody else listening, Sarge and Joe are going to have a debate next Friday on the Constitution. So it'll be good.
Oh, shoot. Oh, really?
Yeah.
I need to be talking
about Article 1. Article 1 of the Constitution, what would be emphasized.
Oh, so shoot. Okay. I might have to put some down for that
one. Yeah, that's the most important single article, and it's probably the longest. Remember, the whole Constitution is only 48 pages, but Article 1 has about 8 pages all to itself. So it's clear the framers of the Constitution wanted to put an emphasis on the legislature.
That's right.
And what its powers were.
I hope that either one of you or both of you bring up the fact, or at least in my opinion, the general welfare clause is the well, it's not in Article 1, but if at any time there is a debate, I hope somebody brings up the fact that it's the weasel clause of the Constitution, just like there's a weasel clause in prenups. You know, where you think that you're protecting your assets, but there's one clause in the asset which gives the wife just about everything. There's that one clause in the Constitution which kind of makes it null and void, which does give the power back to the government and allows it to be as corrupt as a monarchy. At least that's my interpretation of it.
That's a corrupt interpretation, and here's the reason why it's a corrupt interpretation. The preamble is a summation of what the Constitution is intended to do. The specific articles are intended to be much more specific as to how that welfare is promoted. That's what's so corrupt about and disingenuous about those people who cite general welfare as being a dispositive of everything else in the Constitution. And it ain't. Because you got to remember this. It says general welfare. That means general welfare has to apply to everybody, like an armed forces, a An army and a navy promotes everybody's general welfare by keeping the country safe from invasion and attack. That's what they meant by the general welfare term.
Yeah,
it may be.
The Constitution applies to the individual, not any particular groups. It's the individual.
Well, it's supposed to protect, of course, the individual from the government. But the thing is that in the Anti-Federalist Papers, I think, Sarge, you'd be more familiar with this. Or maybe everybody would. I think a guy named Brutus or Bruto or whatever, he wrote a nice little essay about how the General Welfare Clause could be bastardized and corrupted in order to give the federal government all the power that they presumably were trying to avoid.
Yeah, he was right.
Yeah. Even though it was in the preamble, it may be the summation of what's supposed to be in the body of the Constitution. It's still in the Constitution. And therefore, who was that senator from North Carolina who said that 96% of the senators and congressmen don't even read the bills or don't know the Constitution when they sign
Pelosi,
the bills?
Well, a lot of them said that, Pelosi for one. But it's true.
Wow.
Convention of States have a proposal that no bill is more than 12 pages long, and the title of the substance of the bill is in the title, and that's it, nothing else. But we know what goes on. You have 4,000-page bill.
You know what, though, Bill? You know what might be even better than limiting the number of pages? Because I'm forced to admit there might be one or two important things you might have to take more than that. But here's the thing. For every page, you got to give so many days to allow them to read it. And so if you got a 500-page bill, that means you got to say, I don't know, 1,500 days to read it before you vote on it, or something like that.
Plus, it has to be open. It has to be open for public scrutiny, also.
Yeah, there has to be transparency, and if you have to have 4 days to read a page, they'll never pass a bill.
I know. That's a good thing, I think. I mean, it's more good than to do harm.
You know,
I think the bill laws these people pass, the better off we are for the moment.
Here's a contention. You got a contention for term limits, which they say 18 years, 3 terms for your senators and 9 terms for your congress people. No person served more than 24 years. But they're also trying to put up with a term limit for government officials. And you know the reason why come that's so hard? Because a lot of your congress people has got relatives somewhere embedded within the system. How many government officials are there? How many people is working on what's that thing they call it? I can't think of it. Civil servant. You got over 200,000 civil servants.
That's right. The federal government alone. In the federal government alone.
Wow.
And from what people have been saying lately, what I've been hearing lately, is that the federal government, the deep state, is so embedded that not even the president or even Congress can penetrate it. There's long-lasting... there's been rules passed a long, long, long time ago that they have to abide by. And even if the president wanted to go to Area 51, he'd have to go through a whole mesh of bureaucratic red tape. And if they denied him, he wouldn't be able to get there.
Wow. So I guess they want to get rid of the general welfare clause, huh?
But wait a minute, Joe. I don't know of any bureaucrat in the federal government who gainsay the President of the United States wants to make a decision, except for Secret Service when it comes to protecting the President's life. Somebody direct threat to the President's life, then by law they are authorized to overrule his immediate decision. But when it comes to going somewhere and looking at something in the federal government, they gotta let the President do whatever he says.
Well, not from what I've heard. And these people, they were former congressmen and former senators and people who've looked into the bureaucracy of the federal government. So I would think the same thing as you, though the president should have carte blanche to go wherever he wants to. But they have rules and bureaucratic red tape in place that prevents him from doing what he wants to do. citing separation of powers, separation of states, and the fact that he's not a monarchy.
Well, every single agency that controls something the federal government owns is, by definition, an executive function. The President of the United States is supreme in his power over every single executive function decision, all of them. And I think what these people are talking about is that it is customary to go through the bureaucracy to ensure that...
You're going in and out, Sarge.
Okay. I'm saying what I think these people are talking about is that it is customary to go through these bureaucratic machinations in order to make sure things go smooth. But I'm saying if the president says, damn it, I'm giving you an order, forget all that. I want to go there right now. They got to take it. They got to make whatever immediate preparations they can do in order to make it go as smoothly as they can, given the immediacy of it. But they got to let him go. Because if they don't, he's going to start firing people.
Well, not from what I heard. And if you take a look at the documentaries that have Dr. Greer in there about the Disclosure Project, he emphasizes that the government, even the other high-ranking officials in the government, are not allowed to go past certain bureaucratic blocks, especially with regards to UFOs, Area 51, and other entities like that. So maybe theoretically, Sarge?
Well, I can understand it with certain government officials. I mean, but the president is supreme over the executive branch, period, end of story. The Constitution grants him supreme authority. If there are any laws that would prevent him from doing it, I'm sure they would never survive the Constitution challenge. It goes to the Supreme Court.
Well, according to Greer, if my memory serves me right, if he wanted to go there, he can get on Air Force One and, bring his ass over there, but they don't have to show him around.
Well, I think the Secret, like I said, though, I think the Secret Service will override decisions if they deem it to be a threat to his life if they carry out his order. So in that respect, that's about the only exception I can think of. And even that could be challenged constitutionally, I think. Most presidents have enough wisdom, that's maybe one they should challenge.
Well, I would advise you to take a look at any of the Disclosure Project documentaries, because I think in the ones that I had seen, the three of them, he's repeating the same thing.
Can you put a link to it in the chat room so I can see what they say?
No, I'm not in the chat, but it's just Disclosure. Anything that bring up Disclosure Project, and you can watch it on Tubi for free.
Oh, okay, that's all I need. All I need is the name. Okay. Yeah, I'll take
and
a look
Dr.
at it.
Guys, I'm coming to the end. We're in archives right now. Joe Montana.
Yeah.
I need to check your show out. I've been meaning to check out these shows on CNN Radio, and they just had another one. I think what's her name? The Libertarian, the Lucid Libertarian.
Lucid Libertarian.
Laurie Ann.
Yeah.
Lucid Libertarian.
I need to check
these
shows
Vinny,
out.
I'll tell you what. Vinny, save your breath and save your energy because my show comes on and off like once a year. I'm not one who repeats myself on a regular basis. So and the show about with Sarge and with Joe, that's going to be on Bob's show on Friday.
Okay. I need to make a mental note of that so I can check that out. Because I don't want to just be on here and just run it off at the mouth, and I don't check you all shows out too. It feels kind of self-serving when I do that. I got my show on. I don't need to listen to anybody
else. You're supposed to do that, bitch. That's supposed to do that. All blog talk shows are supposed to promote the shows on other blog talk shows, particularly when they let them and invite them to do it. So they can figure we're in a long relationship.
Yeah. But yeah. But anyway, I'm going to get ready to end it on here. You guys take care of yourselves. Keep doing what you do. And next week I should have another show, not unless something comes up, but I should have another show next week. And you all, if you know anybody wants to listen to this show or needs to listen to it, invite them to come on it and everything. So, but anyway, you all take care of yourselves. Stay safe out there. This is Vincent E. Brown. I am signing off. And until the next time, I'll see you on the rebound. You guys have a great week.
Give me the number so I can...